I can never think of Girls Got Rhythm without pairing it with the opening track. And when the album was released, the two were usually played back-to-back on DC 101, where I lived, and on hundreds of FM stations around the country. A perpetual motion machine, Girls Got Rhythm was made equally for boomboxes at the public pool and for pounding systems in the back of cars, transporting happily juiced-up guys downtown for a Friday night out. Lyrically, Scott was mining his favorite source of inspiration. I thought that I knew who these girls with the backseat rhythms were, the ones who looked through me at school, the ones who, after 3 o'clock, would shed their regulation plaid skirt, white blouse, and saddle shoes to paint on their makeup, feather their sun-in hair, and, defying the laws of physics, stuff a hairbrush down the ass pocket of their skin-tight Calvin Kleins to hang out and smoke at the park in Kentmill Shopping Center or the ice-skating rink at Wheaton Regional, flirting with guys who were already shaving. Or those prohibited girls at Ebrick Lee, the public school located over the hill feet away from St. Andrews, but culturally a continent-sized distance. When Scott sings about the girl moving like sin and then letting him in, the colloquialisms worked well enough for us boys, giddily tense as we were with the twin pulls of head-down piety and upskirt peeking. "It's like liquid love," Bond squeals, barely suppressing the grin that knows just how outrageous that line is. The band is fantastically loud and tight by the end of the song, Malcolm the Foreman steering the smirking riff as Williams and Rudd provide the solid chassis. "Rock and roll rhythm," the guys shout seconds from the song's end, and it's that moment that I loved when I first heard the tune. These girls don't just hang out in the back seat. They're silhouettes for everything that rock and roll promises. To young guys, at least. Bon Scott's lyrics catalog an epic sweep through the triumvirate of men's needs. Sex, rock and roll, and drink. There's little room for fealty or subtlety or sensitivity to the nuances of the male-female relationship dynamic, or for extended reflection on the tension between desire and conscience, surrender and smarts. There shouldn't be. He knows what he wants. We know what he wants. She knows what he wants. The music makes it irresistibly so. But that doesn't mean that, Catholic-trained, I didn't raise an eyebrow at some of Scott's lyrics, even when, as a helpless teenager, the language I spoke was equal parts English and hormone. When Highway to Hell appeared in the summer of 1979, I had sex on the brain. The previous summer, the Rolling Stones had released Some Girls, and Miss You was in heavy rotation on D.C. area radio stations. Laying out at Wheaton Pool in the radiant suburban sunshine, off of school for a few months, heady with a thump of Miss You's filthy beat and the surrounding tableau of girls moist with copper tone, the enduring, insistent tradition of rock and roll and sex was working its lasting way through me, and I was happily helpless in its grip. That my 16-year-old sister was among those innocently posing against the backdrop only complicated the pleasures. Buzzing in the air the next few summers was the rumor that Joan Jett had gone to Wheaton High School a few years earlier, and she comes to the pool sometimes. She had indeed gone to Wheaton High. I looked eagerly for her bad reputation to strut onto the pool deck area in those years, but she never materialized. There was sex in the breezes and the shimmering girl curves, and though I hardly had much of it figured out or even named, the throb of Miss You and of Exile's Kiss You All Over and Nick Gilder's Hot Child in the City and Foreigner's Hot-Blooded pulsed in my chest as a girl walked by me on her way to the snack stand, and I rubbed my eyes, and rising through the eye spots in the glare was the mythic, long-off promise of sex.